Hey guys, welcome back to your favorite podcast, Skincare Anarchy. This is your host, Ekta, and I have such a lovely guest with me. I am such a fan of interviewing truly extraordinary chemists and especially those that have so much experience under their belts and can really teach us about the true meaning of chemistry, especially cosmetic chemistry. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you guys to our guest of honor today, Mirai Vega, Dr. Mirai Vega, who is not only, a seasoned chemist and a scientist, but she is also the founder of VGAM Skincare. So welcome to the show, Dr. Vega. I'm truly honored to host you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to host you, and I can't wait to dive in. I would love to learn about you and your journey in chemistry and the world of science, and really what led to the creation of the brand and just everything. If you could walk us down memory lane.
Wow, it is a walk through memory lane, actually. The my journey and VGAM's VGAM Biome's journey is really, really interconnected. I've always been passionate about chemistry since I was a child, really. I tried to understand the world around me. And as I became a teenager, I tried to understand my skin and what the, was going on with it. And in the days, I spent a lot of afternoons at the drugstore trying to, read the labels and understand which ingredients could do what. And talking to dermatologists and trying on stuff, whether over the counter or not, right? And I think this is why I became a chemist. Well, I don't think I know this is why I became a chemist. And then I went on to do grad studies and a PhD where I actually used microbes and microbial fermentations to obtain natural enzymatic extracts. I'm an enzymologist subspecialty. And at the time, I really wanted to develop a line that made sense to me, that was natural, but that was also effective. And while I don't think the market was ready, and the ingredients certainly were not available. So I went on to get some experience in pharma and biotech, in nutraceuticals, cosmeceuticals, really did a 360. As I mentioned, I've always been passionate about understanding the world around us, and my world also include oncology, because I had many family members unfortunately affected by different types of cancer. So I tried to really understand again what was going on, and being so passionate about the skin and its chemistry, I ended up working on many different projects, and on skin cancer, melanoma and carcinomas, and evolved into even immunology, which is not related to oncology necessarily, but to psoriasis, for instance, and really got a 360, understanding of the skin and how it works and the entire systemic, working arounds and the biochemistry of it. Right. And at the time where I landed in immunology, the discoveries on the microbiome were being made, and being such passionate about the chemistry of the skin, I was, I think this is what was missing. And I started digging, right? I started digging on the skin microbiome, and very few are looking into that specifically. So rapidly became, connected with the leaders, the experts in the field, and started doing research on it. And really, this is when I started developing VGAM Biome, because I knew I had elements now that made sense, that worked together, and that could deliver. And so that's the whole journey. And the really key, element that triggered the development of VGAM Biome really was when my daughter actually started struggling with her skin as a teenager. And and I was trying to tell her, okay, well, maybe we'll do this, we'll do that. And 30 years after my own struggles, I was repeating what I had tried that hadn't worked, right? This is really the catalyst of Vegan Biome, because I connected at that, in that moment, everything I knew and the experience I had to, you know, start developing the brand that I thought would make sense for our family, our lifestyle, not only for her skin dysbiosis, so the disbalances, but also for my own skin, as you know, like a mature or maturing person, where, you know, like everybody wants to look their best, right? And to feel good also in their own skin. So this is the story of Vegan Biome.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And there's a lot of things that I, you know, that you touched upon that I would love to learn more about, because, you know, one of the most fascinating things you said was this concept of oncology tied with immunology. And I know you had mentioned that it wasn't very much at the time linked up, but now that we're really coming into this field, I mean, I myself am very much involved in oncology research, and, you know, especially immuno-oncology. You know, it's a budding field that is so relevant to skin health now that, you know, it really shocks me sometimes when I look at the data and I see how, you know, we have missed the mark so much, you know, when it comes to analyzing what really contributes to the formation of malignant versus and also non-malignant skin cancers, you know. And so, you know, with that being said, when you had mentioned the microbiome, and immediately I connected the dots there, because you know, these days, as I'm sure you know, a lot of people are focusing on sequencing the microbiome, and which I find to be truly futile, if I'm honest, because I don't think people are understanding that there is, you know, your microbiome is like a thumbprint, you know, it's different for everybody. And, you know, what exists on your skin will not be the same as what exists on somebody else's skin. And so to understand the mechanism of dysbiosis itself is a very, very difficult topic, but there are certain things that can, I think, be utilized from a chemical perspective that can help in the aid of natural flora growing properly, or, like, you know, being regulated properly. But, you know, I really see a lot of companies that do too much. That's really the point I'm trying to make, you know. It's like they go too far with it. And so, you know, I find what you said to be very interesting, in the sense that, you know, that you really started looking to this. Now, one of my biggest questions for you is, what about the microbiome, as a chemist and from the chemistry perspective, really kind of, I think, you know, you could call, was your first aha moment, or your moment of just, oh my gosh, you know, I had no idea that this is how it was. Like, what was that? Can you share that with us? Like an experience you may have had in the lab or wherever, you know?
Oh my God, this is such a great question. There's so many things to say. Right. So I appreciate everything you mentioned. I agree. Absolutely. There's so many details and complications into the study of the microbiome itself. It's really, really complex. But what I try to do as a scientist and as an entrepreneur, really, and in my daily life, really, is to go to the commonalities. There are, you know, thumbprints, but there are a lot of commonalities. So this is the first aspect. And I think these are the aspects as well where you would find aha moments. You never find aha, you know, like information in the details that don't apply to anybody, right? Or just to one person. You really find the ha-has in those that apply to many. And this is what I try to do. Like, you know, look at, okay, what's common, what's helpful. And in terms of the microbiome, one simple element, you know, to start with is the use of soap. And its effect on the microbiome and how detrimental it is to the skin. And overwashing is actually worse than not washing, right? So these are big elements. So especially for a family that's prone to acne, you know, as you know, like with teens, you would assume, and it's in kind of also became, you know, sort of, you know, common knowledge, and you know, everybody knows you should clean up as much as you can, you know, like your acne. which is actually not the case, right? And so this was a big moment. I come again from, you know, a background where I tried to figure out the world. And even as a kid, you know, like outside in the country where I had you know, parents that would tell me, I don't understand, right? You know, like we lived on a farm and everything was great, right? And you don't connect, you know, until much later that, well, actually, you know, like washing and destroyed part of our microbiome. So this was one of the big aha moment for me. Wow, and how we use that. And how we approach the microbes and this protective barrier, because I really see the skin as a one skin type.
Yeah.
What the human skin, right? Again, I focus on the commonalities, how the skin works. And I really think we went too far into the different skin types. There's like, for me and our approach to formulation and the products that we provide is meant for the one skin type approach. You know, of course, our products are adaptable. You can adjust proportions to your specific skin needs, because those needs change almost daily, you know, depending on our metabolism, our system, the way we react to the environment, but also our metabolisms, our hormonal system, and, you know, the microbes on our skin also react to that metabolism. So taking that into account, you know, like you have to have products that are adaptable, that you can dose in a way, you know, like to those specific changes that occur daily. So as a chemist, you mentioned, you know, like I also had the privilege to work with microbes when I did my PhD. So I knew how to make them grow healthily and to make them thrive, and how to feed them to actually, you know, like grow them, and then to obtain enzymes and extracts that were healthy in a way. So this is what we also combined into, you know, into our thought process and our approach and philosophy to formulation.
I love that. I love that. And I actually want to focus on that topic that you brought up, which is this idea of creating a, you know, a more universal approach to the microbiome. I think that's actually more relevant than a lot of the things I see where, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all about customization in every aspect, right? Like as a scientist, of course, you know, we nerd out about customization and all different things. But, you know, when it comes to the microbiome, again, you know, I really stand behind this idea of really what you were saying, which is there are certain things that we have to be mindful of, you know, and those certain things are really, if you keep in mind, what is it that makes your normal flora grow and thrive and make sure that it does not allow for bad bacteria to overpopulate and take over? Those are things such as nutrients. Those are things such as skin prep, you know, the right pH balance, the right, you know, the environment, the right amount of hydration, the right amount of, you know, prevention of transepidermal water loss, those kind of things. And I think that if we can really nail that down first and foremost, the idea of this microbiome being at the center of, you know, the skin, brain, gut, liver, whatever axis, you know what I mean? It's gonna make more sense. You know what I'm saying? Because right now where I'm standing, you know, from a science perspective, what I'm noticing is that we have a lot of data, okay, but we're not able to tie it together. And I really believe the reason we're not able to tie that together is because we're taking samples from specific areas of the body instead of looking at it from this holistic standpoint, which is kind of like, I think what you were saying, you know, when you said the one skin approach, and really seeing it for what it is, which is just that it's a dance of the right nutrients and the right chemicals, you know, on your skin, especially when it comes to topical skincare. So I love that. I love that your approach is centered around that. You know, I think it's meaningful to have that approach.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. And honestly, you know, like it's not, I don't think the skin microbiome will ever be the central, you know, like aspect of the axis. I really still think, you know, the whole body as this, you know, like itself is the center, especially the gut one, because it does provide, you know, like lots of the systemic immunology but at the same time, you know, like the skin being an organ and the largest organ on the body, it's a very important component, of course. And and being exposed to external environments, right, as well. So I see the skin as being this double armor where you have the microbiome that's actually protecting, in a way, the organ itself, you know, the chemistry of it. And I'm talking about the biochemistry of the skin. So, you know, there's these elements, there's the watery elements or those components that are more, that need more water. And then there's this oily component, those elements that really make up the structure and the suppleness of the skin. And then there's the microbes, right, that need specific food that they take either on the skin or that we can provide, you know, to help it grow, you know. But as you mentioned, holistically, right? There's really commonalities as to the needs of different microbes. And we do know, right, that it's not in the details that we will necessarily win, you know, like have the biggest wins. It's really in the generalities. So by feeding the microbes and helping them grow maximally and as, you know, as plentiful as possible, we know that this provides a better protection and that the composition of those microbes is not as important. It is, but, you know, the first focus should be really, as you mentioned, to provide the environment for those microbes in general to grow, you know, and at a right pH, you really encourage some microbes more than others. And fortunately, it's also a great pH for the skin, its chemistry, its own, you know, biochemical functions. So it's really made to work together, all of it. And for me, this is, you know, it really became a second passion when we start digging into that aspect. It's incredible, the information that can be provided, but it is tricky. You are right, because there's so much information that we can get out of, you know, what's composing one person versus another. And we know the influences of our genes, but also of our environment on those microbes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. 100% agree with you. And I, you know, my next question really is to dive into the formulations of your products, because, you know, as we had mentioned, there are these like fundamental, you know, hallmarks that we want to maintain in terms of, you know, optimal skin environment for that normal microflora to thrive in. And so I would love for you to walk us through some things that you found from a chemistry and molecular perspective that were allowing that to be, you know, an environment that we could create on our skin topically. So if you could walk us through maybe a few of the ingredients on your Enki list for, you know, for example, like your cleanser, you know, your treatment, and whatever you want to mention.
Sure. First, I started with what I call the go-to duo. It's the solution that I think is bringing the most innovation to the space. We really focused on making sure the three elements that I mentioned before were present and that worked well together. So the first aspect, you mentioned it, was pH, because pH is important both from the skin's perspective and from the microbial population's perspective. So we really optimized the pH and made sure that the products worked well at that pH, but also the cleanser was developed later on to complement that pH. So we really worked with the pHs of the two, which are different, to make sure that we protect those essential elements from the skin, but that we can also, you know, cleanse properly without too much disturbance. So that's the first element. Then obviously there's the microbes. So microbe, there's different strategies. There's the pre, the postbiotics. So there's a few ingredients that are key in that formulations. As I mentioned, I grew microbes in the lab. So obviously, you know, like I made sure that the microbes had, you know, like a good nutrient base, but, you know, FUS and GUS, like the polysaccharides are super important for those microbes. And as well, hyaluronic acid. We know that this is a super ingredient, and I'll talk a bit more about it in a few minutes, but for the microbes, it's a really essential one as well. So we did that for the microbes. We listed all the key ingredients, those that we could not, that, you know, like were a must, and those that were, well, perhaps depending on the others. And then we went on to do the same for the skin itself. And the skin has, as I mentioned, the oily component and the water component, and that they interact. And, you know, we need to make sure that the water, the hydration level stays optimal for those biochemical functions to operate, but also that the oil component that we're supplementing to the skin for those that don't necessarily produce enough sebum or oils on the skin, that it would recreate an, you know, like optimal environment for also the other two elements. So we in terms of water, of course, we had hyaluronic acid. In our case, we put more than one type, so to make sure that the water content would really be optimized in the skin. And for the oil components, well, we use different types of oils that would reproduce the fatty acid profiles of the sebum as closely as we could. And we also added ceramides and the like, so that the skin was really supplemented properly in terms of oils and lipids. So wow. This was really our approach to make sure that not only my daughter's balance again was great and optimized, but my own, where, you know, I tend to produce a little bit less, you know, oils, but also that I want to prevent the signs of aging, which is really in terms of uniformity and the texture of the skin. This is, you know, the level that we can really act on. So this is what we did. And we're really proud of what it, you know, like got us to, because we see real benefits. We see the skin, and we've had lots of, well, we did a small clinical trial, but we also have like lots of testimonies to that effect, that people really feel their skin healthy, and they feel, you know, like their skin healthier, which is at the end of the day, what is most important for the skin.
I love that. No, I love that. And I think that's so, so wonderful that you were able to outline that for us. And, you know, for everyone listening, I'm going to make sure that we outline those points that Dr. Vega has mentioned here, you know, for quick reference in the concept art for this episode. But Dr. Vega, I want to ask you, you know, now that you told us about that, I really want to know what your opinion is about, for example, you know, in dermatology, there's so many patients with acne, but then we talk about, you know, there are these subcategories of acne, you know, yeah. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard of like cystic acne, fungal acne, you know, bacterial acne, there's so many different types. So what has your experience been, or any feedback you might have gotten from any consumers or whatever, you know, the data pointed at, when it comes to the treatment of these different types of acne? And does that, you know, is there a commonality in how we approach the microbiome to be able to, you know, really treat all these different types? Or is there something that we need to like reconsider when it comes to different types of acne?
Well, likely, yes, absolutely. The first thing I absolutely need to mention, obviously, you know, I'm not a dermatologist, so I would never aim at treating acne. I'm trying to balance the skin and hopefully, you know, like to lessen its impact. And it works really well for mild cases of acne. If you're having really more aggressive forms, consultation is a must. There are efficient medications, as you would know really well, for those that are more aggressive. So there's a limit to what we can do. We are a skincare that's a line that's made to be used daily, right? You know, like it's a go-to formulation so that you're maintaining the health of your skin and optimizing the balance. But it unfortunately has its limit. It's not a pharmaceutical formulation. We really wanted to work on the prevention side in the sense that I do believe that some small disbalances can be counteracted upon quickly. However, you know, for those that are really more severe, would need specific pharma treatment. And we go back to the world that I lived in for many years in oncology, where we looked at developing treatment for many of those diseases. That were caused originally by environmental factors, which were, yes, environment directly, but the environment in their bigger sense, where maybe the way what we eat, what where we live, our work may affect our general health and cause these mutations to accumulate over time, right? So we know that close to 80%, of those different types of cancers can somehow be prevented.
Right.
They could if we lived in a pure environment, but we don't. So, right? So we try to maximize, and we've all heard of those stories of people that live super healthy lives and still develop some sort of mutation or tumors So it's really difficult to control with our lifestyle. And honestly, it is what it is. We have to, deal with it and cope. And I see big parallel with what skincare can offer severe disease, I would say, right? There are some disease of the skin, like psoriasis, that are systemic, you may do something on your skin, but still the cause of it, the root cause, is not at the level of the skin. So you will need to work on these other aspects. There's no way for just a simple formulation to be able to support that. It is holistic as well. You will have to, sleep well, lower stress, but also, in terms of, syndromes that are really due to internal cascades or immunological cascade that may relate more to the gut than the skin, even if the symptoms are at the level of the skin.
Right. No, that's a great way to word it, and I appreciate your response. I completely agree with you. I think that it's definitely something that you're right, it's a case-by-case thing. And I think with the microbiome, again, it's something that we do have to approach with this understanding of, although we can balance the most commonly found bacteria on skin surface, I mean, when it comes to really, severe conditions and things that are more, I guess, personalized, in terms of how they're affecting you, and it's not something that's known to the common consumer. Like, for example, I had mentioned fungal acne. Not a huge subset of people get fungal acne, So when you do have something like that, it's better to go to your dermatologist and, really figure out what's going on, and rather than just assume that it's like everybody else's acne. So I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. I just think that it's important for people to have a realistic understanding of like what we can do with skincare products versus not, in terms of like, I think that when it comes to microbiome based lines, like such as yours, I think the real selling point here is that you want a formulation or a set of formulations that are going to bring your natural state and physiology back to homeostasis. And I think that act on its own, by bringing your skin to homeostasis from a topical perspective is going to, you know, eventually lead to different cascades being activated, different molecular pathways being activated, and then your skin will self-regulate. So, you know, that component of self-regulation is really, I think, what when I look at the microbiome and I see it being applied to cosmeceuticals, I think that what it really is doing is you're giving it a jump start. You know, you're giving it that right environment to like kick off and do what it needs to do. And then the rest of the processes are going to be taken over by the skin, you know, and it's going to do what it needs to do to regulate itself. And I think that's what a lot of consumers kind of miss the mark on, because unfortunately, with this plethora, you know, I find this to be so annoying in our industry where, you know, one concept comes out and then everyone's got a line around it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're dealing with epigenetics, and it's like every single person now is saying, oh yeah, I got a brand for epigenetics. Oh, I can make something for epigenetics. And it's like, we don't need that. You know, we need a few good people who have the training and the science and the scientific training to do what it needs to be done. You know what I mean? And so that's why I gravitate so much towards your line, and I gravitate so much towards what you've created here, because you have the science and you have the education to back up what you've done. You know, instead of just somebody XYZ saying, hey, I read a paper about the microbiome, let me make a formula. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. I agree so much. You know, like that there's a lot of ingredients that are microbiome friendly, and it's true. They are microbiome friendly, but it's the whole that needs to be microbiome friendly. Otherwise, you know, like that one ingredient will not do the trick. It needs to be, you know, from a very understanding and scientific approach, where, you know, like you really think of the different ingredients in your formulation so that the whole makes sense and works together. Because really the microbes on your skin are there, you know, and to live in symbiosis and to provide benefits. They do when they are. We know that they protect against premature aging, and they do protect against disbalances. But to do that, they have, you know, the formulations have to be coherent and symbiotic themselves to work well together.
Now, one thing I want to ask you, Dr. Vega, is one problem I've seen with a lot of other microbiome products is, you know, this idea of like, there's this filmy texture to the formulations, you know, in terms of like, you know, when you apply something and it like peels off or it pills. Yeah. Very easily. I find that to be very common in so many brands that are saying we're microbiome based, you know, we're et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm trying to ask, you know, from the chemistry perspective, you know, how is that in terms of formulating a, you know, a product that is made for the microbiome? I mean, is that a problem that you see in the lab like very frequently, or can that be avoided? You know, how, and if so, how do you avoid it?
So for us, well, there's three, you probably know this, but you know, there's three approach, big picture, to feeding or supporting your microbiota. The first one is the prebiotics, very similar to the gut microbiota. You really feed good nutrients to your microbes, inulin, the polysaccharides, oligopolysaccharides like FOS or GOS are really great at doing that, right? And then you have the probiotics approach, very similar again to the gut. You feed more active bacteria. Right. And then this is where the tricky part comes in. And then there's the postbiotic approach. The postbiotic, you mentioned it, it's recreating the environment so that the microbes can thrive, really. The pH is, you know, a component, but even cell debris, inactivated cell structures of bacteria, lactic acid, you know, these are elements that really support the post, you know, the environment of the microbes that are on your skin and help them grow and reproduce. So these for us now, that the formulas we have that are really the day-to-day use is focusing on the pre and the postbiotic. And these don't really cause, you know, any issue. In terms of formulation, you know, what causes an issue is the other ingredients that may interact with your microbes themselves. So that's what you have to watch for. However, in terms of the probiotic approach to skin, you have to make sure that these microbes stay active. And this is where, you know, the chemistry of it takes takes over. It's really important. There's encapsulation strategies and there's oil-based strategies, basically glycerol or you know, that are not, you know, including water. So that you're not going to activate your the microbes that you're adding, adding to the formulation, and then you will be able to keep that activity when you deliver the product. The issue with that is that while you don't get the water, you know, and these elements that need to be dissolved in water. So so you're missing some elements that are essential to the skin, and then that's why you get also get a weird consistency and texture of your product. If that answered,
That definitely did. No, I completely understand that, and it makes sense also because you know when you're dealing with like I think of it like you know you're more of the chemistry side, I'm more of the biology side, yeah. Right? But I think of it like, you know, when you're putting, for example, like there's different, you know, things you can use. You can use either like the medium in which you grow something, or yeah. You can have, you know, the actual growth, the colonies themselves, you know, in a Petri dish, or you can have the medium on which, or the, you know, the Petri dish gel that they're sitting on, you know what I mean? So it's like three different things and they're all going to feel different. They're all going to behave different, you know? And it's something that I think we all should understand as we're approaching microbiome products, because I know that a lot of people say, you know, well, I can't layer this with this, or I can't, you know, put this on this. And it's, I think it's more of an understanding of chemistry at that point. And, I find that consumers are still very lost with really trying to, you know, decode that, those chemical names and, you know, the organic chemistry names and what they mean and what, you know, what is it going to do if I use this serum with this moisturizer, you know, is it going to have an effect? Is it going to cancel out? I mean, that's something I would love for you to address as well, is like, you know, when it comes to formulas that are like, for example, yours, you know, with Vegam, like, is there anything that we can do that would cancel out any of the components or ingredients, or is it pretty much good to go, you know, in terms of layering and all that?
Oh, that's a very excellent question, especially for me, because that's what we focus on. We focus on simplicity and peace of mind. This is really what I wanted for myself, my family, my friends, because we were in this spiral of trying different products that worked for a while or didn't work because we didn't use them properly, or, you know, like we had to layer, or, you know, we're really, really all busy, but we all want the best, you know, possible care for our skin. So my goal was really to have all of the ingredients that the skin would, you know, benefit from in one formulation. And like I said at the beginning, I wasn't able to do that in just one, but I was able to do it in two products that I use at the same time, simultaneously. And the reason why I split the ingredients into two is so that you could combine them in different proportions depending on the changing skin's needs. So evidently when I formulate, I mean, it took quite a few trials for this, and there's ingredients we decided, okay, we're gonna exclude this one, but we're gonna replace with that one, because there were elements that we would not compromise on. And there were others that, you know, like if it's one antioxidant or the others, it was super important to have antioxidants, more than one source, but we didn't need absolutely the vitamin C. What we wanted was the antioxidant role function. So that's why vitamin C we excluded, because it did create some issues in terms of formulations. Not that it's not a great ingredient, it's a great ingredient, but it's not one that is irreplaceable, contrary to, you know, some others. Obviously, if your formulation is based on vitamin C, for you, the formulation is, you know, like essentially composed of vitamin C. it's really, really important. But for me, my our brand was, you know, like designed so that you wouldn't have to think, oh, I have to add this or I have to add that. And, you know, because it was certainly very confusing for many of our groups. And when we did focus groups as well, right? So, so we really, really included everything that the skin would need and made sure that it was possible to only use that solution. So the go-to duo, the two products together and have the complete absolute care. So it's really simple to use, but you have all of the ingredients. So we had to do, you know, a few switches around to make sure that the functions on the skin were all being satisfied. And we discovered that we really needed to educate as well. So not only do we have the formulations that are made and we have the products designed, but we also have to explain and educate on why these ingredients should not be in here or why these ingredients should really be and which ones, you know, like you can maybe subsidize or, you know, like switch around. So a key element for us anyway is not only to provide the products themselves, but a solution. And that solution includes education, because I do think that's a real issue nowadays to be understanding why you're doing something for your skin and what makes sense and what maybe doesn't make sense as much. So we've created even cheat sheet where you have the no-no list of ingredients to avoid. And these are quite, you know, like common now, right? We know most of them, but yeah. In terms of irritants and allergens, there may not be as common, you know, common knowledge. And these actually are causes of some types of dermatitis and eczema. So interesting to know that there are classes of ingredients that that can actually, if avoided, make your skin healthier. And then there are some, and we call them the oh yes ingredients. So we have a list of ingredients like to absolutely include. And then what we do list the names of those ingredients and what, how you would find them in a formulation. Because sometimes you would, you know, for most people anyway, you read a formulation, the inky in the back of a product, and you think all of that is synthetic, where you know, it's actually a natural formulation. But you know, like, it's really hard to understand. It's harder than ingredients for food, but it shouldn't be. It's the skin, right? So how can you understand your labels, basically? So that's what we tried to do as well.
I love that. I really love that. Well, Dr. Vega, I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm a huge fan of your work. I think you're really, you know, making some strides here in the industry and bringing us products that we really don't get to see very often, you know, and I'm a huge fan of, you know, trailblazers and change makers. So I really applaud you for your work, and also, of course, for, you know, coming on the show and educating us, because, you know, knowledge is power, and, you know, I truly believe in that. So thank you so much for your time and your knowledge. For
sharing. Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot, because I think the same of you and your show. It's absolutely excellent, right? So Dr. Ekta, absolutely. My pleasure, and very happy to have spoken to you today.
Likewise. And for everyone listening, please, I really urge all of you to chime in, keep this conversation going, you know, leave us your thoughts, your questions, comments for Dr. Vega's team. We'll definitely pass them along if you send them our way. But for now, we will leave you with this. And I hope you guys loved the episode. And if you did, make sure to leave us that rating, the 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify podcast, wherever it is that you tune in to the show. It means the world to us, and it really helps us grow as a podcast and get out there. So we would really, really appreciate that. But I will be back next time. Thank you so much.